some ways, that's a meeting that's perhaps better done with two people carrying on a conversation. Because it's Isaiah writing effectively a conversation of the people of, to the people of Israel, who are at that point in exile, and God, where the people of Israel are saying, we do all these things, we fast, we follow, you know, we go through these rituals. Where are you? You're not hearing us, you're ignoring us. What's going on? And God responding to it, well, yeah, we're making sacrifices. But what are you doing to the hungry? What are you doing of those who have no home? What are you doing about showing compassion to those with nothing, those who are oppressed? That's what matters. If you're all you're doing is ritual fasting, ritual sacrifices, but not caring for one another, it's hollow. When you look out for one another, when you feed the hungry, when you clothe the naked, that's where I am. That's when your light shines. So earlier this week, Ellie and I on Tuesday evening drove to St. Catharines to participate in a vigil and a walk to remember and show our support for those who are suffering and asking questions and mourning after the attack on that mosque in Quebec City. And the weather was getting a little bit iffy at the end of the day, so we're getting a little bit tired. And I know I found myself asking the question, do I really want to do this tonight now? How much of a difference is it going to make if just the two of us show up with everything else going on? Is anyone going to notice whether or not we are there or not going to be there? We haven't told anyone we're coming, so we haven't made any commitments to anyone. Well, at that point, I also started having images of starfish. Does anyone know that particular story, the lesson of a gentleman walking along the beach, comes across another person who's in the midst of a whole bunch of starfish that have washed up on the shore, and he's throwing them back one at a time. That story sound familiar now? He says, what are you doing? Well, trying to get the starfish back to save them. Looks around and the beach is covered in starfish. Well, how much of a difference can you make? What kind of difference is that making? A couple of starfish. Gentleman reaches down, picks up another one, throws it back into the ocean. Made a difference to that one. Ellie and I were just two people. Large number of people when we met at City Hall. There was a group of Muslims from St. Catharines who were praying, and those who showed up to show their support made a circle around them that was, I'm not sure how deep, but it was substantially deep. And it symbolically demonstrated a lot of people forming a protective circle around this group, a small group of Muslims who were praying. Did they need to be protected in St. Catharines on that day? I would really hope not. But it showed support. And so at the end of the day, for Ellie and I doing that and then making the walk from there to the mosque, part of something and making a statement that if nothing else we knew, we'd answer the call. Today we hear Jesus say, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world." It's important to remember that Jesus says that direct right after, as we heard last week, he points to his followers and said, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who are oppressed, blessed are the peacemakers." He's effectively blessing all those in front of him, about him, who are the weakest of society, those who have been silenced by the powers, those who are mourning, those who are ill. He looks at them and says, "You are blessed. God is with you." And then he says, "And you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget who God made you to be. Who you are and how you relate to the people around you is what matters. You will make a difference because of who God made you to be." The Sermon on the Mount, which we'll continue on, we'll be reading more from it over the next couple of weeks, Jesus then goes on to talk about how those people around him who are following him, those whom he has named as the light of the world, those who says, "Don't forget who you are. Be who God made you to be. You will help usher in God's kingdom." How will you do it? By doing just a little bit more than what you've been told you're supposed to do. By the small decisions that you make to relate to the people around you, not through show of force, not through great grand gestures, but by the little things that you are called to do, you will bring light to the world. Turn the other cheek. Walk another mile with someone else's burden. These are the ways to bring about God's kingdom. We live in a time right now, well, it seems we always seem to live in a time when we are under pressure to deal with anger, with hatred, with fear. Right now it seems to be a little bit accentuated. How do we make decisions in those times? How do we relate when it feels like we have no power? For all these great decisions seem to be made somewhere far from us, that seem to have this huge impact on the rest of the world. And yet into that we are told, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are what gives the world meaning." In the face of darkness, you will make a difference if you choose to do so. And each time you find yourself in a situation where you can make a dark decision between the choice between doing something that brings light to someone's life, or giving in to despair, feelings of hopelessness, I think we're being asked, being commissioned to do that which brings light. That can become its own act of resistance in a world which often tempts us to hopelessness, to anger, even in moments where you are poor at heart, even when you feel, you experience